Nice to see everybody here this morning. We will start with prayer concerns and thanksgivings and announcements, and I have them all. Next Sunday, November 25th, is the last Sunday for the hats, mittens, gloves, and scarves to be donated. So that's next Sunday is the last Sunday for that. Bob Downing is having surgery on his left shoulder on Tuesday, so if we could all remember him in prayer. The family of Pam Lambert, her nephew, Michael Wolford, passed away, and he's gone to be with the Lord. So remember their family in prayer this week also. I think you said his funeral is Friday. Our name cards. After the service, please put your name card back in the appropriate section, alphabetically under the last name, in the box, if you're not taking them home. Otherwise, if you could return them to the appropriate section in the box, it would be appreciated. And this one's going to tear a bunch of people up, but there's no AM coffee group on Wednesday, the 21st. Because all those ladies are to be in their homes, in their kitchens, cooking. That's what they are. The altar flower sign-up sheet will be passed around on the clipboard if anybody wants to sign up. And let's see, do we have any birthdays this week? Vicki, what day is your birthday? Wednesday. Oh, Vicki's got a birthday on Wednesday. Anybody else? Yes? Who? Leonard Beulah had a birthday last week. Oh, and he wasn't here. So, Vicki and Leonard. Okay, let's sing Happy Birthday. And any anniversaries? Nobody? Who? Judy, and how many years? 57 years. Wow. Well, let's sing happy birthday to the Wilers then. Okay, for our first song, let's all stand if you can, and we're going to sing the song Sanctuary, page 2164, and it's on the screens, and we'll sing it twice. Okay, now we have a little programming change. Instead of the second song, Come Ye Thankful People Come, We're going to sing, it's on page 395, but you all know this one. Take Time to Be Holy. Thank you. You may be seated. And in your bulletin, the call to worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And if you want to take your hymnals and turn to page 131, or you may know the song, We Gather Together.
Thank you. Could we have the children come forward this morning? We have lots of kids here, I think. But they're all bashful. Come on up. You have a seat anywhere you want, right here. Here comes some more. How are you? Okay, we have to talk this morning, of course, about what do we have to talk about on the Sunday before Thanksgiving? Don't you think we have to talk about Thanksgiving? It's a special day when we all have to give thanks. How are you? For all the things that we have. And I thought we would do it a little bit differently this morning. We're going to have a little bit of a quiz here, but it's not really a quiz. So what I want you to do, when I point at you, and I'll go first so you know what to do. When I point at you, I want you to say the first letter of your first name, and then you say something that starts with that letter that you're thankful for. So think about it for just a second here, okay? The first letter of your first name and something you're thankful for that also starts with that letter, okay? I'll go first. My name is Russ, and it starts with an R, and I'm thankful for radishes. I love radishes, okay? So when I point to you, you tell me your name and your letter and what you're thankful for, okay? So let's start.
My name's Sophia. My name begins with an S, and I'm thankful for sharing.
Sophia starts with an S, and she's thankful for sharing, and she's a little better than I am because I said radishes. Good one. Okay, what's your first name? What's your first name?
Claire.
Claire, and that starts with a C. And you're thankful for cake. There we go. We're getting into the spirit now. Okay, you young man.
My name is Timothy, and I'm thankful. The first letter of my name begins with a T, and I'm thankful for turkey.
Timothy is thankful for turkey. Good for Timothy. All right. I think your first name is Mason, and it starts with an M, and you're thankful for, I can tell you this one, you're thankful for Mom. I know you're thankful for Mom. Anything else with an M? We'll settle for Mom, because she's pretty handy to have around, isn't she? How about you? What's your first name?
Brock.
What is it, Brock?
Thomas.
Thomas? Okay, Thomas starts with a T. So what could you be thankful for? Are you thankful for turkey too? We'll take turkey for that one too, okay? Because everybody's thankful for turkey at Thanksgiving, right? Okay? All right. Did we do you? We didn't do you yet, did we? Okay. How do you have a message after all this, huh? Elizabeth is thankful for everything. Good job. How about, are you Claire? That starts with a C, huh? So what could we be thankful for that starts with a C? Can your dad help you out a little bit?
She's thankful for candy.
For candy. Claire's my hero. Good job. And did we do you? Did we do everybody? What I want everybody to know is there are so many things in this world to be thankful for. What's that?
Spanish.
Good for you.
Spanish.
You have to take Spanish class. Do you like that? Do you get good grades in it? Sure. Sure you do. What else?
I'm thankful for thanks.
For what?
Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving, yes. Because that's a time when we can all get our families together. That usually is a good thing. Not always, but usually. Well, anyway, the point is, there are all kinds of things to be thankful for, and we take some of these things for granted. And they could be major, major things in our lives, or they could be very simple things. And Thanksgiving is a good day because it makes us stop and give thanks. So would you pray with me for a minute? Would you fold your hands, close your eyes, and repeat after me, Dear Lord, we We thank you for giving us Thanksgiving. And we thank you for letting us have all the things we're thankful for. In your name, we pray. Amen. All right. Are they going downstairs today, or does anybody know? Back to their seats? Okay, go back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. That was good. And we changed our song in the beginning because the choir is now going to sing the song that you were going to sing.
Thank you, choir. That was really pretty. The Old Testament reading today is the 96th Psalm. The 96th Psalm. Okay, here's a personal confession. I love to be read to. I always go to the library every week and get books on CD. And while I'm working around the house or doing crafts or whatever, somebody's reading to me. And one thing that I like about them is that they read with enthusiasm, or they express certain words, and that kind of intrigues you. And I was reading the 96th Psalm last night, and I was thinking, this has a lot of really good words in it. This is a song, this is a psalm of salvation. It's a psalm of happiness. This is the week of Thanksgiving, and this is really a good psalm for this week. So sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, and bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
Thank you, Karen. And we'll continue the service now with the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, number 102. Be seated. And I ask you this morning to join me in the spirit of prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, full of thanksgiving for the bounteous gifts that you have given us. and the wonderful lives that you have allowed us to live. We know that this country was formed and based on the many freedoms that we have, and we get ourselves all caught up today in, you know, what's happening in the world and what's happening in our country. And we know, Lord, that what we must do is return to you. We were founded, and we were blessed to be blessed by you, and we know, Lord, that the answers to the issues of the world's problems today are returning to God. And we pray, Lord, that people will take this Thanksgiving season to give thanks for what they have and to give thanks to you and return to the life that it is that you provided for us to live. We thank you, Lord, for the leadership of this country, and we ask, Lord, that they also look to you for the spirit to guide them and the decisions that they make and the leadership that they provide to take us on into the future. And we, Lord, know that we have responsibilities for that too, that we have obligations to do our part, to do our best in the worlds in which we live. We pray this morning for Pastor Sue as she is in Israel, and I know that she's being blessed on the trip, and I pray, Lord, that she will come back with a full heart and she will share what has happened to her over there with us, and that she will return home safely and be able to return to her family here and enjoy her holiday, Thanksgiving holiday also, Lord. We also continue our prayers for Bob and his health issues and the upcoming surgery that he's going to go through, and pray for success in all that happens. We pray also, Lord, for Pam's family and the tragic and sudden death of a loss of a member of the family, and pray, Lord, that you will bring them peace and comfort in this time of mourning and grief. We also pray, Lord, for the Pritchett family as they have lost a member of their family, and pray, Lord, that you will bring them comfort. You will bring them strength, too, so that they can get through this difficult time in their lives. And we ask, Lord, once again that when we have decisions to make, when we have things to do in our lives, that we first and foremost look to you for guidance. We know you have the answers. We know that you will lead us in the right direction. And we pray, Lord, that we will use this Thanksgiving season as a kickoff to bettering ourselves, our world, and our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for the sunshine as it comes through the window. It is truly a gift and a blessing from God that we enjoy these wonderful things in our lives. We stop and we give praise. We ask, Lord, also that you answer the individual requests, the silent requests that we have on our hearts this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you reach down and touch us individually in those areas so that we know that we have you with us through whatever struggles, through whatever joys we are encompassing at this time. We pray these things in your name, Lord, concluding with a prayer that we say in unison that you taught your disciples so many years ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The scripture lesson this morning is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing, rather let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give the grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seat for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. The word of God for the people of God. So, have you heard about the guy who was walking along the railroad tracks when out of nowhere he got his left foot caught between two of the cross ties that the rails themselves rest on? And to make matters worse, it seemed that the harder he tried to free himself, the tighter his foot became wedged. Naturally, his first thought, what if a train comes? And then, right on cue, in the not-so-far distance, he heard the unmistakable sound of an oncoming train. In a panic, he began to pray, "Please, God, get my foot free, and I'll never get drunk again." Nothing happened. His foot remained stuck, and the train was coming closer. Again, he prayed, "God, please free my foot and I'll stop drinking and swearing." Still, nothing. And the train was drawing nearer. He prayed yet again, "God, please, if you get my foot loose from the tracks, I'll quit drinking, swearing, and smoking." And suddenly, just in the nick of time, his foot shot out from between the railroad ties, and he was able to dive out of the way seconds before the train came roaring past. He got himself up, dusted himself off, looked up to heaven, and said, "Thanks anyway, God, but I got out myself." Whoa! Change the scenario just a bit, and everyone here this morning could relate another story of how when people need God, they have no problem calling on Him. But when the need is gone, sometimes, at least for the moment, so is that need to call upon Him. I'm here to reinforce something this morning that all of us already know. As His disciples, we are to maintain an attitude of gratitude, count our blessings, and give thanks for everything that He has done for us. Always, not just when we are involved in a situation over which we have no control. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 reads, "Give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Steve Harper, author of the book Five Marks of a Methodist, wrote in his book, "I've been a Christian for more than 50 years, but every time I read these words, I still think, whoa, we've gone to the deep end of the pool on this idea." And although I had a similar response in different words, my reaction to these words as I read them was probably less than favorable. I might venture a guess and say that some of you probably raised your eyebrows a bit after you heard or read them also. Give thanks in every situation? It's not unlikely that some, many, most, maybe even all of us have experienced a life event or two that we were really not thankful for. Was it the situation itself, or our reaction or our attitude toward it, that created our response? What we need to remember is that when bad things happen to good people, when there's only one set of footprints in the sand, God is there to carry us and our burdens through those tough times. Attitude is everything. Who, sitting here this morning, doesn't know someone who has the proverbial attitude? That's a rhetorical question. Doesn't really need or have to be answered. Everybody's got an attitude. Think about it. Parents raising a very young child have been overheard saying, "I don't know where he or she got it," which may or may not be true, but little Johnny or Sally has really developed an attitude. Anybody ever here this morning ever hear of a teenager with an attitude? Again, purely rhetorical. And can't we, the rest of us, all be grateful that as adults, we have grown out of that sometimes unflattering quality of life that once defined us? We have taken to heart Paul's words found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say will do good to those who hear you." We have learned that valid criticism in the right circumstances may be helpful, but negativism can be immoral and destructive. So let me take you down this path. Let me take you down this railroad track to further my point about the role of your attitude in your life. I'll try my best to see that we don't get stuck or hung up somewhere along the way. Everyone here has heard of Dr. Phil, right? Famous television personality, rock star of the professional counseling world. And although I admit I have never been a very big fan of his show, I do recall a suggestion or a question he often asked his guests. In the midst of one of their tirades, he would stop them cold by simply asking, "How's it working for you?" Whatever it happened to be, in any situation, it was obvious to Dr. Phil and his audience that what was being done was not working to relieve the crisis of that particular moment. Consensus. If it, isn't doing whatever you want it to do, doesn't it make sense to say it, to change it, or at least change your attitude? It's really kind of a simple concept. Let me give you one more personal example from the Shoemaker file. It's a good one. Some of you might already know, early in our marriage, Bev went through the adoption process twice. In both cases, we adopted an older child. One was 13 at the time, the other one was 11. We had the same contact person through the adoption agency with both cases. She was, at the time, what I considered to be an older woman who, we learned, had a lifetime of knowledge and wisdom, which she accumulated from her years of experience placing kids in adoptive homes. Her name was Pearl. Pearl was one of the most astute people I have ever met. Dr. Phil had nothing over her. During the course of our first adoption, when things were not going particularly well, and I was letting off some steam in a phone call to her, she said to me, "If you want Bill to change his attitude, to change his behavior, change yours. If what you are doing is not working, change what you're doing, or at the very least, the way you're doing it." The expression, beating a dead horse, comes to mind. I have never forgotten that telephone conversation or that advice. Talk about an attitude adjustment. How many times do molehills become mountains because we create them? How many hours of sleep have been lost because we refuse to accept something that we couldn't change anyway, even if we wanted to? How much time have we spent in anger that hurt nobody but ourselves? So sometimes our attitudes can do us much more harm than good. Doesn't it make sense that we should maintain the most positive of attitudes in all areas of our lives. So, enough small talk. Let's think about our attitudes toward God and His role in each of our individual lives. And let's count our blessings and be thankful. Would it be a fair assumption on my part if I said that the vast majority of you are familiar with the parable of the Good Samaritan, found in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37? I'm not going to take the time to read it to you, but let's clearly establish that it is a parable, a story with a message behind it. We also know that Jesus was famous for answering questions by relating a parable rather than answering them outright in plain Aramaic. I'm sure that at first it might have been a real issue for some of the disciples. These parables forced them to think, and that's something that people didn't and still don't always want to do, then or now. Anyway, in this particular parable, Jesus clearly points out the attitudes that we have in regard to others, helping others who are in need. Not my problem. None of my business. Don't have time. Let somebody else do it. How many excuses does our attitude allow us to make? And then, when the Good Samaritan comes along and does his thing, don't we all experience a feeling of, that's the way I should? I said should. Be. God has a humbling way of allowing us to lay severe guilt trips on ourselves. James chapter 2, verse 10 states, For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. And verse 12, for judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. That verse can kind of affect your attitude. And to carry the point of this parable one step further, we need to concentrate less on what other people are or are not doing and place more emphasis on what God has called each of us, you and me, to do with our own individual lives. Each of us has a calling, a purpose-driven life. And even though none among us is perfect, we need to learn to work in less than perfect conditions with less than perfect people. There's plenty to do. Open your eyes. Look around. Ask what you can do. We need to get over the attitude that our personal thoughts, our own personal interpretations, and our own actions are not open to alternative possibilities, perspectives, and actions. We must get better at not condemning others for, dare I say, committing sins that are greater or less than our own. After all, a sin is a sin is a sin. And the greatest reward of this whole process just might be realizing that you can do wonders even when you are not wonderful. Listen to these words found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly." It just so happened that shortly after I decided my message to you this morning would be about our attitudes, a friend of Bev's posted an article entitled "The Power of a Positive Attitude" on her Facebook page. I'd like to share some of the content of that article with you. Think about this. Your attitude determines your day. It has been said that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. People don't make us angry. We allow that anger to dwell within us. Circumstances don't upset us. We allow ourselves to get upset. Some of us choose to worry. Some of us choose to criticize. Some of us choose to blame, and some of us choose to complain. No one makes these decisions for us. We alone are responsible for our attitudes. And remember, you can't move forward if your thoughts are bringing you down. Your life is a gift. Don't ruin the content. Count your blessings. Be thankful for your family, your home, for the food you eat. There are a whole bunch of people far worse off than you are. And you know what? I can't help but think that there are tens of thousands of people in this world, in this country, who still give thanks for what they have, in spite of the fact that their lives were totally decimated in the year 2018 by one or more of the hurricanes or fires that caused so much devastation this year. The article made one last point. We should not get frustrated when things are not going our way. God knows what He is doing. He is placing the right things in our life. When something doesn't go according to plan, you have to trust there's a better plan out there for you. You are being moved. Believe in that. And in your response, pray for a positive attitude, for the ability to recognize all of your blessings, and the ability to see all of the goodness that surrounds your life. Pray for others, and believe in the power of your prayers. And one more point to make from this article, if you can't do anything else, at the very least, smile. Oh, I see some smiles. There's some smiles. That simple act just might make someone else's day a whole lot better. And remember these words from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So, would you agree with me if I said that it is really important to celebrate holidays? In addition to being reasons to bring families together, what could be wrong with that? Well, you don't know my family. I know. It depends on the family. They provide us with the opportunities to celebrate and acknowledge the special events in our life stories. Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Easter, the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Independence Day, and the fast approaching Thanksgiving Day. Each of these occasions evokes memories of the past and hopes for the future. Every one of them is special in its own way. But today, as the season is upon us, of course, is the tradition that taught us to be more aware of focusing our attitude on Thanksgiving. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't need a traditional day or time to set aside to honor these occasions? Just asking, I know, more rhetoric. One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between the wolves inside all of us. One is evil. It is anger, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The grandson thought about it for a moment and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." So, my challenge to you, each of you this morning, is as simple as this. Feed your attitude, keeping in mind you reap what you sow, as stated in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Traditionally, it is common for families to gather, and as Thanksgiving rushes upon us, remind each other of just what we should be thankful for. Family, friends, health, a home to live in. All of these are good. And we should give thanks for the many blessings that we have. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. But let's all make the commitment to count our blessings on a higher level this year, in this Thanksgiving season. We've all been through it enough to know that before we know it, Thanksgiving Day will be here and gone. Does that mean that we won't have to be thankful again or count our blessings for another whole year? I think not. I propose that we all recommit to remembering and giving thanks for what is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Can't think of anything to be thankful for? How about the gift of God's amazing grace? You know, God is so much bigger than any of us could ever hope to fully understand. I heard it explained by Mike Huckabee, a former pastor, former governor, former presidential candidate. In a TV interview, he said that we humans are finite beings. That means we know we are here because we can see each other, we can touch each other, at times we can smell each other, good or bad. And we also know that we will not always be here. That's been proven. We know it to be true. God, on the other hand, is infinite. He has been and remains forever. And while we may not be able to see him directly as we can see each other, we see the works of God on a regular basis. I believe that every life here this morning is a creation of God. If we give him credit for creating the world and everything in it, that would include you. Put this into perspective. God created the Grand Canyon, the mountains, the seas, the continents, and you. How true are the words, "Our God is an awesome God"? 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says it better than I can. "The person who doesn't love a brother or sister who can be seen can't love God who can't be seen." That's another humbling thought. So as this Thanksgiving Day fast approaches, I propose that each of us, you and me, pauses to give thanks for what is really important in our lives. And what better source for knowing what those things are could there be than Jesus himself? Found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, Jesus said to his disciples in what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I had to do a little editorializing here because I could never figure, blessed are the poor in spirit. I read that means blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, you want a happy Thanksgiving season this year? And a happier life from here on out? Take the advice of the old Cherokee. Feed your appetite. Count your blessings. Live with an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful. And when you need God most, when your left foot is freed from the cross ties that are holding you back, don't turn your back on God. Let's go all the way back to the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, where we read, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So it is not difficult to count our blessings. There are so many. But some of us do need that attitude adjustment at times. It will be helpful to remember this when giving thanks. Being grateful for all God has done for you, has given you, is all good. But I ask you, is it enough? I propose that you thank God for all that he is to you. After all, he is your creator. He is your rock. He is your hope. He is your salvation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 reads, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Thanks be to God, for God is good all the time." And God's people said, amen. Would the ushers please come forward? Lord, it is with an attitude of gratitude that we return these gifts to you in the spirit in which they are given, and for all that you have done for us and all that you have given us here in this country, in this world, in this church. We thank you and we bless your name. Amen. And our closing hymn this morning is number 364, Because He Lives. Bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious upon you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and bring you peace. And may you have the happiest of Thanksgivings.